Thanks for joining me today. Glad you are here at Wonderful World. I do not take it for granted that you're a part of this today, and I look forward to just talking with you for a while, and I appreciate all the feedback that I've gotten from so many of you and the chance to hear from you and to see that you're connecting, and this is just awesome. So patreon.com/life180 if you want to support the show, and it's always appreciated. So we live in a world, it's a wonderful world, but it is a world full of conflict sometimes. And so we're going to talk today about how do we take the conflict that we face and flip it around so this wonderful world can stay wonderful. And I know some people, when they hear that, they're like, oh, that's a kind of pie in the sky mindset, because as long as there's people. Now, hey, Jesus himself said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So, you know, if you think you're going to live in a world without any trouble, that's just not reality. You could turn on the news every night and know there's trouble. And I think there is a ton of legit trouble. And then there's a ton of trouble we just make for ourselves. I mean, how many times have we done stuff that ended up creating trouble for ourselves? But in a world full of trouble, you have to know how to deal with it. And so we have to know how to deal with people and know how to talk to people, know how to, and you can't talk to everybody the same. How you deal with them is not the same. And so we're going to talk about this. So Sunday in our service, I was talking about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. But if you go back just a chapter or so, Paul and Barnabas, who had traveled together, ended up in conflict. Now, these are two men of God, really. I mean, is using that term that we use sometimes. Two men that walked with God, two men that loved God, and they had trouble with one another. And if you don't know the story, they had gone on a trip together, and they had taken John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, with them, and, John Mark left halfway through, and Paul didn't like quitters, basically. And so when they got ready to go again, Barnabas said, hey, let me go get John Mark. And he said, nah, I don't think so. And he said, what do you mean, don't think so? That's my family. He's got to go. Because you know you got to protect family, right? And if you ever want to get in somebody's trouble, start talking about family. Isn't it funny? Like, you can talk about, I can talk about my family. I can talk about my brother and my sister. I don't have a brother. But I can talk about my sister, I can talk about my family, but you start talking about my family, oh, it's on then, right? And so family conflict is always huge, and so Paul's like, he's not going with us. He quit last time, and John Mark's like, yeah, he is. I mean, Barnabas's like, yeah, he is going. And they get going, so they end up splitting and going two different ways. Now, God used it and worked all things together eventually, but it just shows the humanity of people and that you're going to have conflict. And you're going to have conflict on your job. You're going to have conflict at home. You're going to have conflict at school. Conflict is just a reality that you have to understand. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're going to have conflict at church. some of the most ridiculous conflicts happen at church. In our day and age, you're going to have conflict on social media. I think some people go to social media just for conflict. It's like, hey, let me get my dose of conflict today. And I get my dose of trouble, and that's where they turn. And so, but we got to know how to deal with that, and we've got to face that. Now, some of us just run away from it. I'm not a big conflict guy. I don't like it. And so, if I can avoid it, I'll avoid it. But that's not the best solution either. I remember someone saying to me years ago they were having conflict with a family member, and they said, "Well, time heals all wounds." And I know that's a popular saying, but how many times have you heard people that have a family that they let things go for a while, and the next thing you know, it just rolled out of control, and they haven't spoken in 20 years. So you can't avoid it. You got to deal with it. But how you deal with it is very, very important. So like we see stuff in the news right now. Some people deal with conflict by being rude with it. Sometimes in people in political office, the way they'll deal with the other side is by insulting them and calling them names and saying how bad they are. That never solves anything. So you can't really deal with it that way, by tearing down the other person. As I said, we avoid it we just don't speak to it, or sometimes we try to just soften over it. And what we're doing then many times is we're enabling the situation instead of, you know, handling it in a right manner. So I want to share something with you, and this is from I'm going to share some points with you from Business Insider by Celestine Chua, and I want to share this with you, and because what is so incredibly cool here is she's coming to this from a business setting, so you're going to have conflicts in on the job, but there's some real biblical and principles, some biblical and practical principles here that apply to everyday life. So it's not just the job, but it does apply on the job, applies in the home, applies in the church, it applies everywhere, among friends, school, you name it, with superiors, with subordinates. These are things that you have to do. So we want to be able to continue rolling forward with a wonderful world and knowing not some pie in the sky idea that there's not going to be problems. How do we deal with them? And so this is a lesson I've got to learn, and probably some of you like me, you've got to learn too. So I want to jump in with some of these today in conflict. Now, one thing that we see, I was talking about ignoring it. So we're seeing all kinds of stuff. So I'm just going to bring stuff right to it, okay? There's, for some of you know who he is. Some of you don't know who he is. A guy named Jerry Falwell Jr. It's all in the news right now. He is the president of Liberty University, which is a Christian university in Virginia. And he's doing he's done everything lately but be Christian. And so, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, don't use that name anymore, please. Because you're lumping all of us in with you, and I don't want to be lumped in with you. And so that's true for how I see it. And so the university, when some of this stuff has come forward, instead of dealing with it, they've just kind of said, oh, we'll deal with it later, we'll push it off down the road. Well, now they've pushed it off down the road, and it's blown up. It's bigger. And so you understand what I'm saying in how you deal with problems, and how you deal with problem people, and how you deal with problem situations. And, you know, they've made a mess out of it, and they do that so many times. I look at my own life and things that I should have dealt with at one time, and I didn't. I let it go, and it just made it worse for me and the person that I could have dealt with that. So let's deal with it, but let's do it in a wise way. So the first tip that's given is, when there is problems, when there is conflict and trouble between people, is the first thing, be calm. Be calm. You know, sometimes there are a few of us, not all of you are this way, but there are a few of us, and me included, we lose our temper. We get really upset, and man, we just blow up. And that doesn't work. As a matter of fact, the scriptural principle behind this is the Bible tells us to be slow to anger. It also tells us to be slow to speak. Those two things usually come together. It says to be swift to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak. When we blow up and let our temper get control of everything, that person shuts down. And actually, in my opinion, even if they were in the wrong, they won, because you just showed immaturity, because you didn't handle it in a calm way, and you've shut them off from anything you say after that. And so be calm. And so be slow to speak. Don't say the first thing that comes on your mind, because you're like, no, I know what to say. I know, I can tell them, I can put them in their place. Man, you may put them in a place that you don't. Neither one of you need to be. So be calm. Someone who is calm is seen as being in control. And when you're in control, people know how to deal with you. When the person you're dealing with sees that you're calm despite whatever they're doing, you start getting their attention. And they're like, man, I thought they would blow up at this, but instead they're listening to me, they're talking to me, and or they didn't blow up at that. And now you've got their attention, And as we'll talk about as we go through this, you also have their respect. So real easy, be calm. Just calm down. Now, I will say this to some of us who lose our temper. when you look and say, calm down, that usually doesn't help. So if you're with the person that blows up, you just need to be calm too. Because coming right back at them usually doesn't work. The second one is understand the person's intentions. You know, she says in this article, I'd like to believe that no one is difficult for the sake of being difficult, but I think all of us know somebody who is difficult just because they like to be difficult. You're going to have those people in life, and those are the outliers, though, hopefully, in your life. Some people are just difficult because they like to be. But, you know, most people are well-intentioned, two good-intentioned people. Man, I've learned this about marriage. You can have two really, really good people. Go back to the Paul and Barnabas example, two partners in something, working in ministry, working together. Two well-intentioned people with just completely different opinions. And I believe Paul, his intent was like, no, I don't want to get halfway through this journey and lose him again because we were relying on him. But Barnabas is like, but we got to give him a second chance. He, you know, he's grown up a little bit. He's matured. Both of them well-intentioned. You might have to, with somebody like this, try to identify what their trigger is, what makes them act the way they do, what makes them become difficult, and understand where they're coming from in their intentions, that maybe it's sincere, they're just not doing it well. They're just not handling it well. And, you know, maybe some stuff you're going to have to dig in and find out a little bit more about why they're doing it. I think a lot of times we focus on what people are doing and not why. And if we can start focusing on the why instead of just the what, that would help tremendously. So understand the person's intentions. Third one was get some perspective from others. Hey, other people have probably dealt with this person. If it's on the job, if it's family, you know, wherever it may be, other people have dealt with this, and so you may have to go and find out what their story is and what they have to say about it. And you might find some, as she says, some golden advice in the, you know, in the middle of all of it. Somebody may say, "Hey, I've had that same issue with them before, and you know, here was the reason why." Oh, okay, you know, or they may know something about them that you don't know, and then when you find that out, you're able to understand something a little better because you went to somebody else. So great advice to get some perspective from other people. Fourth, let the person know where you're coming from. Let the person know where you're coming from. You know, just like you need to find out their intentions, they may need to know your intentions. What is it that you were intending all along? They don't know why you're doing what you're doing. They don't understand exactly what that purpose is. So I think sometimes, I'll give you for instance, imagine that you're working on a car with somebody, and I, as a dad, sometimes I've asked for help, and then I get impatient because they don't understand what I'm trying to tell them to do. Hand me that. Well, what's that? You know, or give me that over there. Give it to me. And they're like, what are you talking about? You know, people need to know where you're coming from and those things. So it's the same thing with your intentions and with your pursuit. They just need to understand what's your reason behind your actions. And that gives them an opportunity to enable to empathize with your situation. And so if you can get them to know who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. You know, a lot of times when we talk about spiritual things, I want people to understand where I'm coming from on spiritual things, because then they are able, you know, here's why I believe what I believe. I think a lot of times we're good, once again, the why and the what. We're really good at telling people what we believe on the Christian end, on the biblical end, but we don't really tell them why. We don't get into the deeper part, and so they don't understand where we're coming from, and then when we're able to go further and, you know, explain some of that, it helps. So you got to learn to explain yourself, and I know I have to do that a lot. And that ties into the next one, and that's just build rapport. Build rapport. Hey, what about this? What if we got to know them? If we started really getting to know people, so you got a manager at work that's giving you trouble, get to know the manager. You got an employee, get to know them. You got a friend that's something going on. Maybe you need to get to know that person a little deeper. The old idea of walking their shoes a little bit. You know, connect with them on a personal level. I think sometimes we connect with people on the level that we want to connect on, and then we shut it down. I think one of the best places to connect to people is at a table, over a meal. As a matter of fact, once again, biblical principle, the early church, you know where they spent a lot of their time? They spent a lot of their time at the table together. We just had something at our church this past week called the table, where on a Thursday night, we invited people just to come together and eat a meal together and just talk about really the Sunday sermon, but it was just kind of guided in questions. We just talked, and we talked through some stuff. And so that's what I would just tell you is really just sit down at a table. Let's talk. I have two friends that I know really well, and we have lunch together once a week. And one of the reasons I know them so well is because we sit at the table and we talk about everything. Everything comes out. Life, you know, we all work in different places and do different things. We have, but we're connected. So you're going to foster strong connections and build that rapport. I think the reason we don't have a wonderful world is because we have a disconnected world. We have a disconnected world where everybody is, in my opinion, especially with social media today, where everybody is anonymous and they can hide behind an avatar. They can hide behind some picture or some profile, and they really don't know the people they're even speaking to and the people they're speaking about, and they don't build rapport. Well, you hear this in politics all the time. We, you know, work with the people on the other side of the aisle. But then when they come to a press conference, it's all Republicans on one side, all Democrats. Then they come in later. Nobody comes in together. Nobody does anything together. So no wonder nothing's working. You have to build rapport with people in order to settle issues, in order to make things work. Jesus took 12 different people and called them his disciples. Now, we know there were more than 12 people that followed him on a regular basis. But he took 12 people and he said, I'm going to get to know you. And even getting to know them, one of them still betrayed him, right? So you're going to have that, but you got to get to know people. And Jesus spent his time with people. He spent his time connecting. Even remember he said, let the little children come to me. Let them get to know me. Let me get to know them. You have to foster strong connections. And I think that's probably the most important thing that we need to do. Real easy one, treat them with respect. Treat people with respect. No one likes to be treated as if they are stupid or incapable or incompetent. If you treat people as they are incompetent, they're gonna say, okay, you want incompetence, I'll show you incompetence. If you treat people like they're dumb, then they're going to give you exactly what you asked for. And here's the principle. Do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. That golden rule principle, which is scripture all the way through. If you treat people one way, they think, okay, that's the way they want to be treated, and it's coming right back. So treat people with respect. And we can't say that enough. We live in this world, and we want it to be a wonderful world, but then we disrespect people. No wonder we've got issues. No wonder we've got problems all over the place. I mean, we're watching people in stores right now because you have a mask or you don't have a mask, and there's people on this side criticizing because you're wearing a mask. You know, what are you? You're so beat up by the government, you'll do anything they tell you to do. And then you got the other side over here. I can't believe you're not wearing a mask. You know, you're trying to kill me and my family, and it becomes so disrespectful. Why can't we just treat people with respect and go back to point number one, be calm. Treat people with respect. Next one, focus on what can be actioned on. In other words, do what you can do. Rather than get upset about what you can't change, focus on the steps you can take to forward yourself in the situation. We sometimes just want to complain. We want to complain about stuff. And man, I'm good at complaining. I don't know if y'all are. I'm good at complaining. But complaining doesn't solve anything. And so we have to learn just to talk to people. And say, we can't do anything about that, but what can we do? You know, if you get if something fell apart, you can't go back and fix it. That's probably been my biggest thing. And, man, this is like David confession time, you know. Sometimes stuff will happen in my life, and a situation will happen, and I'll just harp on it for a while. I'll just keep saying, I can't believe this happened, and I can't believe you did it this way, and I can't believe that didn't work out, and I can't, you know, and we'll just go on. I'll go on and on about the thing. It's not solving anything, because there's nothing we can do about it. You can't go back and it's the old don't cry over spilt milk, can't put the tube back in the toothpaste. or what did I just say? The toothpaste back in the tube. If you can put the tube back in the toothpaste, you're doing pretty well. But you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. So quit, you know. Okay, what can we do to fix it? What can we do to make it better? Clean it up, you know. Go get another tube. You have to do the things you can do instead of focusing on the problem. So what are some actionable steps you can take to repair a situation, to make things better, to build something back with somebody? Now, this next one I'm going to tell you, I think it's interesting. It's in the article, and I want you to understand where it comes from. She says in the article, one of the steps you can take is ignore. Now, I know I told you at the beginning, you can't ignore it, but you got to understand where she's coming from in this. She says, if you've already tried everything above and the person's still not being receptive, then you may just have to ignore it. Because there's some things you just can't fix. And you keep on and on and on. And it's, especially if it's a situation you can't control. Maybe on your job, nothing you can do about it. Then you may just have to go on. I mean, if you've done everything within your means, you got to get on with your life. You got to get on with daily tasks. And I know that's hard for some of us. Man, there's some things and some issues and some things I've seen, I've dealt with people, they had to finally just let go of some stuff and move on. And that's tough, especially when it's somebody you love or something you care about. But sometimes you just got to move on. You got to go to plan B, which is maybe just, you know, next, and I can't do anything about it. I've seen situations where I think of one right off the top of my head where a wife was trying to fix her marriage. And, man, it just came to the point that this thing was irreparable. And it's sad. It was very sad. But, you know, they had to move on. She had to move on because it was unhealthy and it was harmful, actually, for her. And just had to ignore him and move him out of her life. And so that's hard. But, you know, on a daily level, there may be things you have to do like that. And then there's the big levels, like I just talked about. Now, that's not always feasible. That's not a feasible situation when the person plays a role in your work. I know my kids always complain in high school and college about group projects. And so you got a group project and, you know, four of you and each of you are assigned a task and one of them doesn't do their task. You can't always ignore those situations, you know, because then your whole grade depends on that. So there may be that in your job. I mean, you got to sometimes deal with it. But if there is a chance you just have to move on, you may have to just move on because some people are so difficult. This would get past difficult to the point of toxic, and you may just have to deal with that. And then the last one is kind of a last resort, but I'm going to give you a spiritual aspect to this, and that's you may have to take it to a higher authority for resolution. So you're on the job, and you got a coworker. They're breaking everything down. And in the process, in the assembly line of work, and it's not working out, you may have to go to somebody. You may have to go to HR, you may have to go to a manager. You may have to go, to a parent if it's in a home situation. May have to go to someone in a higher position of authority to get some help. That may be the only way to go to that top-down approach. You've tried it parallel. And it's just not working. And I know some of you are going, what if the manager's the problem? What if the parent's the problem? Yeah, that is difficult. Now, here's the spiritual aspect I want to give to you. The best higher authority you take it to is God. And you're like, come on, really? Just pray about it? Yeah, absolutely. you've done other stuff. We're not saying ignore the other stuff I've said. But I would say to you, some of this stuff, before you ever go, remember I said be calm? Before you lose your temper, talk to God. Ask God to help you understand that person and get to know them a little better. Ask God to, you know, soften their spirit so you can know them and that you can have mutual respect. Ask God to help you to focus on, you know, what the thing you can do about it. Because God's promised us he'll help us. And he'll help you in your daily life. I mean, he is the personal God who helps us in our everyday life. And so, you know, take it to a higher authority. There's no higher authority. There are human authorities that we have that we can take things to, and that's always a good thing. But you have to face that, and you have to take that. And so let me go back real quick. I mentioned the situation with Jerry Falwell Jr. You know, what do? When you're somebody, he's the president of the college. Now, he has a board and everything else. So what do? Well, they calmly go in, find out what's going on. Maybe there's something else there that they're not seeing. They find out the situation. They get some, advice from other people. They let them know. They let him know where they're coming from. And they say, we got to make a decision based on that. We can't go back and fix the problems that you've made. We can't do that. As a matter of fact, right before I got on here, somebody asked me, so what do you do when there's spiritual abuse in somebody's life? Well, you deal with it. You deal with the abuse that's there, but sometimes you listen to the person who's been abused. I can't go back and fix what's been done to you, but I can be for you. I can be here for you right now. And we're going to deal with difficult people, but we live in a world full of people, and therefore there's going to be problems. But I got to finish that verse I started earlier for you that don't know it. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. God's greater than the problem and everything that you're dealing with. So rely on him, depend on him, and know that he will be a help. Today, I just wanted to give you some advice. Really, that's what this podcast was about. I looked in some other areas, and I was like, I'd go different directions. But I felt like, I think, you know, with everything going on, with all the bickering and everything, I thought, let's just stop and go, how do we deal with people on an everyday basis? And so that's my challenge to you today. Learn to love people. Learn to deal with people. Do unto others they'd have them do unto you. And watch the dramatic change that can take place because you followed the right steps, and that is transformational. So thanks for joining me for the podcast today. Thanks for all your support. Hey, keep listening. Let somebody know about it today. Maybe the person you're having a problem with, let them know. All right. Hey, God bless.